Welcome to Tzorati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 40. In the last parak, we heard how the walls of Yerushalayim were breached and the city was burnt. Tzidkiyahu was captured, his sons and nobles were killed in front of him, and he was blinded. Nebuzaradan takes the people who defected and those who survived in chains to Babel. Nebuchadnezzar told Nebuzaradan to take care of Yirmiyahu and let him do that which he wanted. We hear how Nebuzaradan gives Yirmiyahu over to Gedaliah, the new governor, so he is free to go among the people. In this parak, we hear how Hashem took care of the remainder of the nation. We also hear about Nebuchadnezzar's plan for Yehuda. Nebuchadnezzar tells Nebuzaradan to remove Yirmiyahu from captivity and appoints Gedaliah ben Achikam as the governor over the remainder of the Jews in Babel. In 2 Prakim, it will tell us about how the people will want to know if they should go down to Mitzrayim or stay in Israel. That will be a change point in the history of the Jewish people. These 2 Prakim establish what were the circumstances behind this question. We learn in the beginning of the parak that Nebuzaradan had a conversation with Yirmiyahu, which led to Yirmiyahu staying behind in Israel, and also explains to us the circumstances that made the people want to go to Mitzrayim. This parak serves as an introduction to the parak that follows, which discusses the assassination of Gedaliah, which marked the end of any remnants left in the lands of Israel. Yirmiyahu wanted to go to Babel with his people and feel their pain, and so he chained himself with them. The officers had all the survivors gathered in Ramah as a central location to begin their journey to Babel. Verse 2. We listen in on a conversation between Nebuzaradan and Yirmiyahu. Nebuzaradan says, Hashem Elokecha diber es hara hazos el hamakom hazeh. Hashem, your God, pronounced this evil upon this place. Verse 3, Vayaveh vayas Hashem kasher diber. Hashem brought it and did according to what he spoke. Ki chatasem laHashem velo shematem bekolo. Because you sinned against Hashem and you didn't listen to his voice. V'haya lachem hadavar hazeh. Therefore, this thing happened to you. Nebuzaradan is saying, I know that you prophesied that these bad things were going to happen because of the people's sins. So why are you so upset? Wasn't this what you said would happen? Yirmiyahu, by all rights, should have felt vindicated, but he was a rachaman, a person with mercy, and he was devastated by the torture he was witnessing. Nebuzaradan is also acknowledging that this is not something that happened because of a person. This was not caused by Nebuchadnezzar's military might or strategy. This was from Hashem. If we look at Nebuzaradan's words, we can see, even in his most righteous moment, he is still evil. He just says, Yirmiyahu, you are right, and in the same breath says, you sinned. Nebuzaradan continues, verse 4, Vata, hinet pitachticha hayom min ha'azakim asher al yadecha. And now, behold, I've released you from the fetters that are on your hands, because Yirmiyahu chained himself up voluntarily. In tov beinecha levo iti bavel bo, basimis eini alecha. If it's good in your eyes, if you like the idea, come with me to Bavel. Come, I'll look after you. Nebuzaradan will take care of all of Yirmiyahu's needs if he chooses to accompany the Jews to Bavel. Vimra beinecha levo iti bavel chadal. But if it's bad in your eyes to come with me, so stay here. The choice is up to him. Re'e kol ha'aretz lefanecha, el tov el yashar beinecha lalechas shamalech. See, the whole land is before you. You don't need to stay in one place. I'm not restricting you. You have all the options. Whatever seems good and correct in your eyes, that you should go there. Nebuzaradan tells Yirmiyahu that he doesn't need to be locked up like the rest of those being exiled to Babel. He doesn't need to be in chains. He can come to Babel if he wants, but the choice is really up to him. Yirmiyahu did not tell Nebuzaradan his plan, but Nebuzaradan figures out pretty quickly that he is staying. He tells him to go to Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shaphan, who Nebuchadnezzar had appointed to rule over the cities of Yehuda. This position of Gedaliah was pretty prominent, as he would now oversee a large geographical region and not just a few poor people. Yirmiyahu should live with him and with the people. He will not be allowed to go to Galus and bring the people back to Israel with him. The other option was, El kol hayashar be'inecha lalachas leich. Go wherever it seems incorrect in your eyes to go. Yirmiyahu is not limited to living with Gedaliah. Yirmiyahu really did not want to leave. According to the Medrash, Hashem says to him that he should stay with the poor people who really need him. Hashem said, "If you stay here, I'll go with them to Babel. But if you go with them, I'm staying in Israel." Yirmiyahu decided that he could not help those in Babel, but he would comfort and encourage the poor and the weak left in Yehuda. The Medrash continues, "When the people saw Yirmiyahu taking off his collar and putting it down, they started to cry and asked how he could let them go without him. The Navi answered that he testifies by the heaven and earth. Had they cried even once when they were in Sion, they would not have been exiled. Yirmiyahu left the weeping people to go to the people who Hashem told him to help. Had they had one sincere moment of tshuva or tefillah, none of this would have happened." Then this Rav Tavachim, this chief executioner, gives Yirmiyahu an allowance and a present and sends him away. The Malbim says that Nebuzaradan gave Yirmiyahu a daily allowance and gave him officers who were responsible for him. Nebuzaradan wants him to stay with those in Yehuda to be a spiritual leader for them. The Medrash on Eicha tells us more details about how Nebuzaradan treated the prisoners. Nebuchadnezzar warned him that if the Jews did teshuva or davened, the decree would be rescinded. Every time a person stood up to daven to Hashem, Nebuzaradan maimed them so they could not pray. They had had so many opportunities to change, and now it was too late. Nebuzaradan took this lesson to heart. He was so moved by what he saw and the realization that there is reward and punishment in this world that, according to the Gemara in Gittin 57b, he left the life of luxury behind and converted to be a Jew. Yirmiyahu finally goes to Gedaliah ben Achikam, who had established a post in Mitzpah. Mitzpah was an elevated location, so it served as a strategic place where Gedaliah could protect those in his care. Yirmiyahu lives with Gedaliah, verse 6, B'soch ha'am ha'nisharim ba'aretz, among the people that were left in the land. Even though Yirmiyahu was given permission to live anywhere, he chose to live amongst the poorest, most broken people. The Das Sofrim notes that the people didn't want him to serve as a spiritual guide, and Yirmiyahu didn't offer to be any more than one of the people. News spread fast throughout the land. There were bands of men who escaped the wilderness like partisan fighters. They heard that Nebuchadnezzar had appointed Gedaliah ben Achikam over the land, and with him were men, women, and children from the poorest people who were not exiled to Babel. They came to Gedaliah in Mitzpah. Among the leaders of this group was, verse 8, Yishmael ben Netanyahu, who was from the royal house. Two brothers, the sons of Kareach, Yochanan and Yonasan, Sraya ben Tanchumes, and the sons of Ephai Hanitofasi. And finally, Yizanyahu ben Hamaachasi. Gedaliah swears to them that they shouldn't be afraid, and if they live in the land and serve the king of Babel, verse 9, Vayitav lachem, it will be good for you. They don't need to be slaves and work for the kostim. They just have to be loyal subjects and everything will be fine. Gedaliah will stay in Mitzpah where he can deal with the kostim and the politics. Vatem, isvu yayin v'kayetz v'shemin v'simu b'chleichem, ushvu barechem asher tevashtem. You should gather wine and summer fruits and oil and put them in your vessels and dwell in your cities that you have taken. It's now the summer, and they need to prepare for the winter months. They don't need to be worried about being looted, so they should feel free to live wherever they want, in whatever city they choose. The Malbim says that Gedaliah told them not to live in Mitzpah because they had been in the resistance fighting against Babel. It would not be safe for them to be so close to the Bavli military. In addition to those in the wilderness, there were many Jews who had escaped from the region and gone as refugees to surrounding countries, like to Ammon, Moab, and Edom, which are the countries to the east of the Jordan. They also heard that there was now an option to live in Israel under the rule of Gedaliah. These people came to Mitzpah as they had never rebelled, so they could settle right nearby. All these people start coming home from wherever they escaped to Mitzpah, and they start gathering wine and drying out their summer fruit to prepare for the winter. Things seem to be settling into a nice routine until Yochanan ben Kareach comes to talk to Gedaliah in Mitzpah. Yochanan warns Gedaliah that there was an assassination plot underway. Baalis Melech Bnei Ammon did not want Gedaliah to be successful. There were many reasons this could be. The Bnei Ammon and Tzidkiyahu had rebelled at the same time. In Sefer Yechezkel, we learn how Nebuchadnezzar was deciding who he should go after first, Amon or Yehuda, as they were both rebellious. He did some divination and decided to attack Yehuda first. His next stop would be Bnei Amon. Rabbi Landy suggests that Bnei Amon did not want another stronghold in Yehuda that could help in Nebuchadnezzar's conquest. He also did not want to directly take responsibility for going after Nebuchadnezzar, so he found a puppet. Yishmael ben Kareach had a grudge because he was from the royal house of David. Baalis riled up Yishmael's jealousy, so he would do the dirty work and assassinate Gedaliah for him while leaving him out of it and making it seem like this was an internal conflict instead of a regional attack against Bavel. Verse 14, V'lo he'emin lahem Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah, the son of Achikam, did not believe them. Yochanan ben Kareach met with Gedaliah secretly in Mitzpah and offered to take out Yishmael ben Nesanya. He said, Elchana ve'ake es Yishmael ben Nesanya ve'ish lo yeida. Let me go, please. I'll kill him, and no man will know about it. Lama yakeka nefesh v'nafotsu kol Yehuda hanikbat simei lecha v'avda she'eris Yehuda. Why should he kill someone? And then all the Jews that are gathered to you would be scattered because they know that Nebuchadnezzar is going to avenge your death. And then the remainder of the Jews who live in Yehuda are going to perish. Yochanan thought that Gedaliah was afraid to kill Yishmael because there was no proof that would stand up in court. So Yochanan offers to take care of this quietly, but Gedaliah ben Achikam turns him down entirely. Verse 16, Al tasei es hadavar hazeh, ki sheker ata dover el Yishmael. You should not do this because you speak falsely about Yishmael. This tragic short-sightedness caused the tragedy that's going to happen in the next few prakim. In this perek, Yirmiyahu settles with Gedaliah and all the poor in Mitzpah. He establishes a colony and tells the people to start preparing for the winter. Partisans who had been hiding in the wilderness come to Gedaliah, and he encourages them to settle in other communities. Other communities of refugees from Ammon, Moab, and Edom return to live with Gedaliah in Mitzpah. Yochanan ben Kareach warns Gedaliah that Yishmael plans to assassinate him. Gedaliah dismisses these warnings out of hand. One lesson we can learn from this parak can be learned from the Medrash. Hashem gave Yirmiyahu a choice. He was going to be with whoever Yirmiyahu was not with. There is a pasuk in Tehillim 91. Yikra'eni ve'enehu. When he calls to me, I will answer him. Imo onochi betzara. I will be with him in distress. Achal tsehu v'achabdehu. I will rescue him and make him honored. No matter how low we sink or how far we are from Hashem, He will always be close by to answer our calls. He is our loving Father, and we can leave the doubting voices behind that tell us not to talk to Him, to come to ask Him for help. He is still with us, and He is still waiting for our call. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.